Christ is risen.
Risen
indeed. Hallelujah. So I get an email newsletter that Diana Butler Bass sends out. I don't know, some of you may get it too. This morning she sent one out that talked about this gospel reading that we read just now. And in there she says that maybe we shouldn't talk so much about what is the resurrection, but talk more about questions like, how do we encounter the resurrection in our lives? And how do we live it out? And I think that those are great questions. And I think I see kind of answers to those in today's scriptures, especially in the common theme that runs through today's scriptures. And that, to me, is the theme of eating together. Both of those, the community in Acts, the disciples and Jesus, share meals together. I think that is one way that we can live out new life. And have you ever really thought about how central eating is to our lives? Now, obviously, we need food to survive. But culturally and socially, food is important to our identities, to who we are. Food and drink can even have a calming effect. We talk about comfort foods, or we find ourselves eating in response to stress. And eating, especially eating together, seems to serve a kind of spiritual function. When we get together with friends, food is quite often the focus of those gatherings. And churches are known for potluck dinners where eating and drinking becomes community building. And we often cherish the memories of family dinners, spending time together and sharing with loved ones. And even those times when we might fear family dinners because of what people might share, it's still, there's something about gathering together that opens us up to that sharing in some way. And of course, when we meet someone new, we ask them to go for coffee or to get a drink. And we do that so we can get to know them better. Food and drink are important aspects of our relationships, in some way uniting us through participation in a common need. And of course, one of Christianity's primary sacraments, communion, involves sharing food and drink with each other, in the belief that as we do it in remembrance of Christ, it draws us closer to God. Eating and remembering allows us to know God more fully. It stirs something within us that transforms us in some mysterious way to be a little closer to each other, to God, and to our authentic, loving, divine selves. And the early Christian community that's described in the book of Acts seems to understand this. We're told they devoted themselves to community, to praying together, to the breaking of bread together. Acts says they joyfully and sincerely shared all things in common, and especially food. In the space of five sentences, it's mentioned three times that they ate together. That seems pretty important. And this is not how the world in general seemed to work. I think we who live in a relatively wealthy nation can forget how precious of a commodity food really is. Today, we throw so much food away as waste. But I can imagine that in a culture where day laborers had to scramble every single day to have enough to feed their families, that food was quite precious. To share with another family when you had a little extra, instead of saving it for yourself for the next day, was truly a gift. It was an offering that potentially affected your very survival. It would have meant something special. And I think maybe at least subconsciously, food still carries that connotation for today and for us. And that's why I believe, for example, a home-cooked meal sometimes feels more meaningful than a restaurant meal. It's more obviously an offering of the self, a sharing of the self. But really, though, I think any time eating and drinking together, anytime we do that, it is a sharing. If nothing else, we're sharing our time. We're participating together in a common need, that of food to nourish and sustain our bodies. And it reminds us of our common humanity. It reminds us that we're all really not that different in a very important way. And that commonality is a necessary element to forge deeper bonds and to forge deeper relationships. When I think about the vision of community that's offered in Acts, this community that shares and that eats together, what I see is deep relationship, love, intimacy and support, kindness, joy, belonging. It's a vision of community that seeks to bring peace and hope to the lives of those that it touches. And it does that through nurturing those deep and strong connections between people. People who are learning to share themselves so they can lift each other up. And that's a different way of being together. It isn't the kind of community that the powers of the world want us to have, but it's God's way. We're told that as Peter was giving his testimony to the crowd, he kept telling them to save themselves from this corrupt generation. And the world tells us that success does not look like community. The world says that success looks like one person standing on top of others. It looks like wealth and power by any means necessary, including violence. And if we have to step on a few people on our way up, so be it. But Peter says this is what we need saving from. We need a better way, a kinder way, a more loving way. Repent and be baptized, he tells the crowd. In other words, let our hearts be changed. Turn and commit to God's way, the way that Jesus teaches us. And in that turning from the world to God, Peter says our sin is forgiven. That is, whatever we have going on that keeps us from God begins to heal. It's forgotten. We draw closer to the divine. We find our sense of belonging. We become more of our authentic divine self. We tune into the voice of the Holy Spirit leading us deeper. The vision of peace and hope-filled community offered in Acts is the practical manifestation of God's way. It's what is possible with God's help when we change our hearts and commit. And in some weird and wonderful way, it's kind of all in the bread. It's all in the sharing of ourselves, coming to know each other in deeper relationship. And I hear that same message in our gospel reading for today. Two of Jesus' disciples walking to Emmaus, sad and disappointed. Jesus hadn't lived up to their expectations. And now they've heard his tomb was empty, and they're not sure what they should think. They have hope and they have doubt, and it's all mixed up together. And in the midst of this, the risen Jesus joins them, but they don't recognize him. I think all of those emotions, their disappointment, their confusion, keep them from understanding who walks with them. And that's actually not that surprising. They certainly weren't expecting to run into Jesus that day. And I know I've had times when I encountered someone that I knew, but in a place that was out of context where I didn't recognize them. Running into someone from work at the grocery store, for example. Maybe they're dressed differently than usual, or their hair is a little bit different. And then even more so, how often do we fail to recognize God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit walking with us in our daily lives? Maybe we're too depressed, feeling sorry for ourselves. Or we're just not paying attention, too busy with life's details. But what I find so important and so fascinating about this story of those two disciples, Cleopas and his companion, is how they finally recognize that it is actually Jesus that they're spending time with. It was in the bread. They come to know Jesus in the breaking of bread together, in the sharing. It's truly a moment of communion. In the sharing of the bread, they remember. They know Christ, and in some way are one. They know Christ is with them. They know they belong. They forget their sadness and disappointment, and they find peace and hope. And then we're told, as soon as they have that moment of recognition, Jesus vanishes from their sight. And it's so interesting that the scripture doesn't tell us that they were upset about that. I think it would have freaked me out. But I think Jesus vanished from their sight, at least because when they recognize him, at least metaphorically, Jesus becomes a part of their heart. He may vanish from their sight, but once they remember him, he is then with them forever. From that point on, all they have to do is turn and see Jesus in each other. You might remember the story I've shared before. I think I've shared it a couple times over the years, about the young child who was walking home from the park after attending Sunday school. And that particular Sunday, they had read about Jesus saying, "Whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me." And talked about when you give something to someone else, you're really giving it to Jesus. And as they were walking through the park, the child noticed an old woman sitting on a bench. And the woman looked lonely and hungry. So the child sat down next to her and offered her a chocolate bar. And she accepted with a smile. And it was such a warm smile that when she finished the chocolate, the child offered her some more. And for a while, they just sat together in silence, smiling at each other. And finally, the child got up and began to walk away, but then suddenly ran back to the bench and gave the woman a big hug, which resulted in the biggest smile yet. And when the child arrived home, the child's mother noticed how excited they were and asked, "Well, what makes you so happy today?" And the child answered, "Well, I shared my chocolate with Jesus." And she had a great smile. Meanwhile, the old woman returned to her home where she lived with her sister. "You're all smiles," said the sister. "What made you so happy today?" And the woman replied, "I was sitting in the park eating chocolate with Jesus. And you know, they're a lot younger than I expected." The child encountered Jesus and the woman. The woman encountered Jesus and the child through the sharing of chocolate. And in those encounters, they too seem to have found peace and hope and joy. In a world that is sick with fear and divisions, that tries to isolate us and keep us powerless and fearful, God invites us to walk together in the way of peace and hope. God invites us to deeper connections, to know God and to know each other, to recognize the Christ in the heart of the other. And in some weird and wonderful way, I think it's all in the bread, in sharing and offering ourselves, opening ourselves, taking a risk and being vulnerable. And that isn't always easy. That vision of ideal community that we read about in Acts didn't turn out to be perfect. Ultimately, it was marred with human brokenness. They struggled. We human beings aren't perfect. We still will fall short of the ideal. There are many things that can work to keep us from recognizing the divine that walks with us or seeing Christ in the person that sits next to us. But we can keep trying. Whenever we find ourselves falling back into the world's ways, we can forgive and begin again. We can turn and commit, continue to break bread together, continue to risk and share ourselves, to lift each other up and work for justice. We can refuse to be anything but communities of love, creating peace and hope in the world. Because we know that even in those times when we are not able to recognize it, God still walks with us and sustains us with the strength and the courage that we need for the journey. For Cleopas and his companion, the experience of recognizing Christ was so powerful. It so filled them with joy and hope that they abandoned their plans and immediately returned to Jerusalem to share the experience with their friends. They were compelled to share the revelation of that ongoing presence of Jesus with others, not because someone told them to do it, but because they were excited at what it meant in their lives. And for the community in Acts, we're told that people wanted to be a part of that community. People saw the love, the joy, the peace, the hope, and even, I think, the fun, and they wanted to be a part of it. The community grew, but it grew not just in numbers. When I read the description of that community, I see a community that is growing spiritually. And all because people could see that they opened their hearts and shared of themselves. They wanted to join. And it was so much different what they were doing there than what the rest of the world was doing. In the breaking of bread together, whenever we gather with another to eat and drink, may we open our hearts and share ourselves, letting the Christ in us greet the Christ in the other. And I really do think that's one way that we can answer those questions that Diana Butler Bass is proposing. We encounter the Christ in each other. We can live resurrection out through the sharing of new life with each other. May we nurture communities of deep connection, of peace and hope and compassionate support. And in the offering of ourselves in the service of love, may we heal and be agents of healing in the world. Amen.